listening to Loving BDSM Podcast, episode 141. Okay, the Lord's here with the one, the only, the making inappropriate noises as he drinks coffee, John Brownstone.
What other kind of noises are there to make when you're drinking coffee?
You can always drink it silently. Just saying.
No.
Sounded like you were making love to the coffee. I mean, I know it's your love language, but I'm not sure it's your lust language.
Maybe a little of both.
Clearly. This week, we're talking about how to figure out who's real and who you can trust as a resource or even just a friend in the online BDSM community, and a little bit about catfishing, because it definitely happens.
Oh, it does, yes.
Welcome to the Loving BDSM Podcast. If this is your first time listening, glad to have you. If you're back for another week, welcome back. Loving BDSM is produced every Friday for your kinky pleasure and education, and show notes are found at lovingbdsm.net. Come back often and feel free to add the podcast to your favorite podcast app. If you love what you hear, we'd love a good review wherever you listen to us to help other kinksters find us. You can follow the show on Twitter at LovingBDSM, on FetLife at LovingBDSMPC, on Instagram at LovingDS and the number one, LovingDS1, and I hate that fucking handle, or on YouTube at YouTube.com/LovingBDSM. All links are in the show notes, and if you are on YouTube, you can watch this episode.
Yes.
And if you'd like to get to the show notes, there's a link to them in the description on YouTube, so you can get to them. This week's episode is sponsored by Delirium Toys. At Delirium Toys, you will find a gorgeous selection of fetish sex toys as well as classic favorites. So get a vibrator or nipple clamps, a cock ring or a latex outfit. Their fetish section is better than most online sex toy stores that I've seen in the past, so it's definitely worth checking out. And if you buy anything in the month of August 2018, y'all, you can save 30% off your purchase with our special code LOVEBDSM2018. Go to deliriumtoys.com and use code LOVEBDSM2018, all one word, when you shop, and you'll save 30%. So I do have a few announcements.
Okay.
So the giveaway for our three-year anniversary is still going for the whole month of August.
Correct.
The link is in the show notes. We're tweeting about it. We're putting it out. Mm-hmm. I need to get it on Instagram, but it's out there. So if you go to lovingbdsm.net, you'll get to it, or just look in the show notes. So definitely enter that. You're going to win a Butter Bar set, a pair of nipple clamps, some other little odds and ends and goodies from Kink Crate, and a paddle or cane of your choosing from what John Brownstone makes for the store.
Yes.
So if you already own another paddle, cool, you can pick another one you don't have yet.
Mm-hmm.
So that is what you need to do. You can enter all through the month of August. There are multiple ways to win.
Okay.
For YouTube, I will actually put a direct link in the description just so it's easier to get to, because I want to make sure people who want to enter can. And people are entering. I watch all the time because I like to know.
You're like that.
I am. I need to be doing other things, but you know what? Let's go look at the numbers. And we do. We have lots and lots of entries, and people are entering every day so they can up their odds. So you should too.
Cool.
We are also running a sale right now. The Kinky Fuckery Shop, which is where the paddles and canes and butt plugs and the erotica I write and a little bit of Loving BDSM sort of merch that we have, it's all there. Your store,
thewooddom.com.
It's your vanilla stuff, your beautiful pens and bowls and
pens
shaving sets.
Pens and bowls, bottle stoppers, and
all
everything.
Kinds of stuff. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So for the whole month of August, at either of those stores, at both of those stores, we'd love it if you'd go shop at both those stores.
Yep.
You can save 10% on your purchase if you use the code NEWSHOP, all in word, NEWSHOP, because they are new shops for us.
Mm-hmm.
They're not new things for us to sell, just new versions of the old shops. I had somebody message, I think it was a patron, actually, and said, the Kinky Fuckery Shop is perfect.
Yes, it was patron. I was just looking at it myself before we started recording.
And I was like, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
It's funny. I don't know why the name didn't come to me much, much sooner, because I did not invent the expression kinky fuckery. I clearly got it from somebody. I just don't know who, but I've kind of made it my own.
You use it well.
I use it for everything.
Yeah.
So now I use
I
it
do
in
too.
Shop. And I've infected others with it. I know a lot of people who use it now.
Mm-hmm.
So that sale's going on. The links are in the show notes. Just so you guys know, every sale from August 1st through till like March of 2019, the net profit, so after all of our expenses, shipping and stuff like that, supplies and stuff. The net profits are going to help send us to Eroticon in London in 2019. So when you buy something, hopefully you get something good for you or your loved one or whoever you're buying for, but you are also helping us out. So we definitely appreciate that. And third, just a reminder, you can join us on Patreon. You can join for as low as a dollar a month, but if you join at higher levels, you get special perks. So $5 and up gets to vote on what the special podcast is about each month. $10 and up, and you get special things in the mail. I am the day we are recording, which I'm not going to say what day that is till we get to the bonus section because I'm very proud of this, but it's a bonus section conversation. I will actually have sent all manners of really beautiful cards and fun stuff to patrons. So a dollar gets you in and you get all the access and all the information, but if you go higher, you get special stuff. And you're helping us out. And anything over, I think our limit was like $150, which we're over that now. Thank you to all of you. All of that above and beyond that monthly amount will also go to sending us to Eroticon. So we appreciate all your help. We love you for it. End of commercial. part of me would really like to just do a commercial for the whole episode because I feel like this is a sticky topic. It's an important topic. It's something that is more common than we think, but not so common that it's happening all the time in everybody. So I think I call it on the actual show notes page just catfishing. Now, catfishing for most of us, when we think of it in romantic terms. If you are not familiar with the term, do not feel bad. It just means that somebody creates a fake online persona pretending to be somebody they're not, usually for romantic situations, but sometimes they do it to bully people. Sometimes they do it to intimidate people. Sometimes they do it to, oh, this is scary, to stalk people. But as I have learned being in the online BDSM community for a few years, sometimes they do it to pretend to be an expert, to pretend to be a resource, to pretend to be in kinky situations that they're not actually in. And it's only a problem when things get dangerous or people get lied to and people's feelings get hurt. So it's not one of these, I'm not running around like the sky is falling on this topic, but we did get an email come through. They asked us specifically to talk about this because they know it's a problem in their community. They're part of the online community. We have witnessed it before.
It's been a big problem since the incept of the internet and chats.
Because here's the thing. The really cool thing about the internet is you can be whoever you want to be. The person I am in my vanilla life is kind of a shadow of who I am as Kayla Lords on the internet. So I am who I am, and you can watch the video, or you can listen to the podcast, or you can read the blog, and that is exactly who I am. But it's a part of me that in the vanilla world, people don't get to see. Other people go another route. They are, I will get my grammar right one day, who they would like to be. It's an idealized version of who they are. It's a stylized version of who they want to be. It's a fake. And on the internet, you get to do that. I think most of us do two things simultaneously, and it's amazing that we do it. On one level, we take everybody pretty much at face value until they give us a reason not to. Even for all the trust issues I have, I do that. I take you at face value until you give me a reason not to. And at the same time, we pretty much feel like everybody's probably full of shit. And it's an amazing dichotomy that we, yeah, sure, that's who you say you are. And also, that's probably not who you are, but okay. We kind of don't care. No. And for the most part, I don't really care either. I care when, especially in the BDSM community, I care when dangerous advice is given. I care when I personally have been lied to or have been put into a situation where I have lied on somebody else's behalf and I didn't know I was lying. Nothing will piss me off more than to find out I've lied about something when I didn't mean to, or to spread a lie because I didn't know better. And I think that happens to us and we don't always know about it. And I think it's one of those things you kind of can't let yourself think about too much or you will just, you won't be able to cope. But in a world where, especially in the kink community, you kind of have to be able to trust each other. We share some really intimate details about ourselves. We talk about things that you can't talk about in vanilla circles. And so there's got to be sort of a level of trust that we can depend on each other and that who we're talking to is basically real. And like I said at the very beginning, I think the majority are like this, but it does happen. I think you need to be aware. I don't know how to tell you to fix it, to solve it, to make it go away. I wish I was that smart, quite frankly.
Well, as far as going away, I don't think it's a problem that is going to go away.
No, as long as the internet exists, yeah.
As long as the internet exists, you know, you do have a certain bit of anonymity.
And that's a good thing. I think that that's been a...
Sure.
On some levels, when it's not toxic and it's not completely just negative and mean and awful, it is a good thing because it means we can share things that we can't share in other parts
True.
Of our lives. And that's been freeing for a lot of people, myself included. I went from being terrified to show a picture of any part of my skin to now my face is like all over frickin' YouTube. Like I just don't care anymore.
Right?
So the other reason that this felt like a good topic, our friend Molly Moore shared a great article on catfishing where this woman pretend, still to this day, as far as anybody knows, pretends to be a man, changes the name, steals pictures of real guys off of Facebook, and forms these relationships with people, with women, pretending to be a man, is the man of their dreams. They fall in love. They, according to the article, only a couple actually had like over the phone or long distance sexual encounters.
Mm-hmm.
It's always over the phone or long distance. It's never face to face. It's all, you know, why? Because she's a lady pretending to be a guy.
Yeah.
But it got myself, and I think Molly too, thinking about the fact that, yes, it is most common in romantic relationships, but it is not the only way. And I think that in a world where we're trying to figure out who's real, who's not, who we can trust, who we can't, in terms of resources, who is safe to ask questions of, it's important to know these things. So
yes.
I do feel it's kind of a sticky topic. I have definite opinions, but I'm going to try and stay calm and cool and professional.
Please do.
That was kind of the promise I had to make to even be able to do this topic, because I do have strong feelings about it, because I have strong feelings about liars, and I don't like them.
We all do. I mean, I've even had my own experience with this. Going back many, many years ago.
Really?
Oh, yes.
Do tell.
I was, this goes back, I'm okay, well.
We already know how old you are. We did that last
episode.
We already
know how old
episode.
I am. Yeah, I talked about that in Windows 3.1 whatnot. Anyway.
That too.
Back in the day of the early Internet Relay Chat, IRC. I was very much enthralled by that when it first...
To go talk to strangers on the Internet?
To be able to talk to people
yeah.
on the Internet.
First thing I did was ICQ, so I totally get it.
From all around the world. I mean, I was something... I was someone who was at one time very interested in amateur radio.
Mm.
Okay.
Breaker 1-9 kind of stuff?
No, that's CB.
Oh, see, I don't know shit, y'all.
CB is kind of the jump point for amateur radio, so to speak.
I know nothing.
It's very similar equipment, but the bandwidth.
Do you use the same language? Did I say it right? Breaker, or whatever
you're,
that
you're,
is.
You're talking CB trucker there.
Well, I did have an uncle who was a trucker, and he used
okay.
a CB radio.
So. Okay. All right.
Sorry, y'all. Go ahead.
But anyway, so, you know, with ham radio, you can with the right equipment, you can basically talk to people all over, and even some cases around the world. So IRC had a very big draw for me, and I was in a group of people that we had formed a friendship. One person was from Alaska, another one from Canada,
okay.
South Carolina, West Coast, this, that, and
everywhere.
The other. Everywhere.
Which is how it is on the internet.
Right.
Which is
how it is. And we had pretty much like a set time of day that we would all meet and talk and carry on.
The innocent days of the internet. When you like had a set time of day, you would just chat. I had those kind of things too.
Yeah.
I mean, different, but...
And... There was this one member of the group. She was a younger girl, I think 17, 18. And we all had a good time. And there was another young man there. believe he was, like, memory's a little foggy on a little bit of this now, that some of the details, but I believe he was around the same age, 17, 18. And it was a lot of fun. We had a good time with it. Now, the young girl, she would on occasion post pictures and whatnot, and you know, talk about a lot of her things. And this young man became quite enamored with her. Mm. And they even did pretty much develop a bit of a relationship.
Sure.
on this chat room that we had. And it got to the point that he then started wanting to meet her.
I know where this is going. Nowhere good.
And, you know, she kept
putting him off and putting him off.
And it got to the point that he became horribly, horribly heartbroken over it, because he was, you know, I'm so enamored of her, because they always, and you know, she seemed to be reciprocating herself.
Right. Well, that's usually how that works.
Yeah.
You know, you have the feelings,
mm-hmm.
you say the feelings because the other person seems to be expressing said feelings. And
yeah.
So, yeah, you believe it. That's like now, the whole part of it.
Yeah.
The worst
now,
part of it.
You know, all of us were taking it at face value. You know, she would post pictures of herself at some point. I mean, we all would, you know, different things.
Sure. And you assume if you see a picture, nobody would, how would you do that? And why
yeah.
would you do that? Yes.
Right. Well, after this young man, you know, kind of fell into despondence and everything because she was not willing to meet with him, we found out the truth. This young lady came clean.
Oh, so on their own?
On their own.
Wow, that's impressive.
Yes. Yes.
Usually you have to find out by accident or assume that's
true.
What's happened.
Well, I mean, in that day, that was pre-Facebook.
True.
Okay. That was pre-Google. Mm-hmm.
Well,
so
of course,
yeah.
The only way you were going to know is if somebody came clean.
Right. So, I mean, you know, it's not like you can do a reverse image search, or you could, you know, search
We'll talk
Facebook.
About that in a
yeah.
minute.
But, yeah, I guess at that point she finally felt guilty and she came clean. It was not a young lady.
Oh, no.
It was not a, it was not a young girl.
God.
Well, this had this, a little better ending than most, than what you were talking about. This was actually, the pictures that were being shown
mm-hmm.
were real pictures.
They usually are, these days.
They were
anyway.
They were the pictures of this woman's daughter.
Oh, I bet that happens more often than we know. I bet it. And that is sad. That's like a
yeah.
whole other conversation about
right.
why people feel like they need to do that. And
yeah.
that truly is sad, that they don't
mm-hmm.
think that they are enough, or that they, whatever the reason is, that they have to imitate somebody else that they
mm-hmm.
perceive as better. But it's still the same result. Person's, you know, thinks
yeah.
that they're talking to one person. They're clearly not. It's completely a lie. They're taken in by it. Real feelings develop. Real emotions are, you know, are happening or
mm-hmm.
building. And then they find out the truth, and there's
and
betrayal
not,
and sadness
right.
and anger and whatever
yeah.
other emotion there might
and,
be.
And I think a lot of that comes about because people feel that, you know, one, you're behind a keyboard.
Right. You can do whatever you want.
And you can do whatever you want.
That's why we have internet trolls today.
Still do.
You can do anything you want behind a keyboard.
They, you know, I think with the birth of the internet, they were just spawned.
They were just looking for
okay.
a way. I think they've
yeah.
always existed in
they,
different
they've
forms.
Always existed in different forms, exactly.
Sure.
You know, and unfortunately, it's something that has perpetuated itself.
Yeah.
You
oh,
know.
Yeah. And it's part of, there's so many things, and I'm not going to ever be one to sort of blame the victim here. What the other person chooses to do as a liar, for whatever reason, some of it is ego, some of it's mental health, some of it's
right.
they get their rocks off that this is a turn on to them, and they're like, oh, I can pretend to be somebody else and make all these things happen.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's all kinds of reasons, and I'm not one to diagnose or figure it out. As a person who's been, in some ways, I don't want to say a victim of it, except, yeah, I guess so, because I believed a liar and I
yeah.
repeated lies that were told to me. I don't really care what the reason is. I don't fucking like it.
Yeah.
I mean, I've already got trust issues, y'all. And then to have done what we all, I think most of us do on the internet. We take you at face value till you give us a reason not to. And mm-hmm. then for somebody to do that, it's, even though I never trusted that person enough to like give my real name or, you know, do certain things, it doesn't mean there wasn't some level of trust there. And then, now what we are, because of the nature of the show, we are primarily focused on, and because of the requests that we got, we are focusing primarily on if somebody's a friend, if somebody's a resource, especially the person who's putting themselves out there as, I have lived this life and I can give you advice about this kind of stuff. Okay. It applies to any relationship. I think most people are attuned to it for relationships though, which is why I didn't mm-hmm. want to focus on this, because I think we're all aware that this could be too good to be true. I mean, most of us, if you've been online, you've been ghosted. I've been ghosted many times.
I've been ghosted, and I hate to admit it, but I will. There
have
was,
you ghosted?
I in times Ooh. Past, I have ghosted on people, yes.
Yeah, that was a less mature you, that's all. You've yeah. matured, you've grown. It's okay. You wouldn't do it now, and that's no. really all that matters. I suspect I've been catfished. Back in the day before I met you, okay. when I was still sort of dating around, I'm pretty sure I was being lied to through that person. I don't even know if it was a dude, that person's teeth about who they were and what they were. Mm. But I never got proof of it. So I think most of us are prepared at this point to kind of be lied to when we're trying to enter into relationships.
Right.
Isn't that awful?
Well, it is,
it happens so often. It's depressing how often it happens.
I believe I mentioned this in a past episode, but I'm just going to reiterate. There was a dominant, and it doesn't just happen to submissive. There was a dominant on Tumblr who met a submissive online, and I'm reading his story, and I was just, oh my God, I felt.
I
was horrified, and I felt so bad for him with what happened. Long story short, he met a submissive online. They began a dialogue. In her story to him, she told him that she lost her parents in a car accident, among a number of other different things.
Tragedies
in her life and health issues. And then at some point, she ghosted on him. He was
heartbroken?
Well, heartbroken, but he had so much invested, emotionally invested
yes.
in this person, that he went on a crusade to try and find her.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
And he did.
Oh, no. And then he found out the truth, didn't he?
Yeah, her parents were alive and well, and she didn't work where she told him he did not have the type of profession. Nothing she had told him
was
true at all.
So yes,
none of it.
It happens to everybody. It happens to people who have trust issues and think that they already know they shouldn't trust anybody. It mm-hmm. happens to all of us. I think that there's a tendency from some people, usually kinder people than me, to blame yourself. You should have known. You should have seen it. Nope.
Yeah.
Nope. It's all on the other person.
Right.
They had a convincing enough story. And if you are a person who's trying to navigate the internet and form connections, whether they're romantic or not, whether it's
mm-hmm.
power exchange or not, you want to be supportive. You want to have friends. You want to invite people into the community. That's what you take people at face value. Why wouldn't you?
Yeah.
And I really think the vast majority of people can be taken at face value. I'm going to keep using the term resource, but the 99% of the kink educators and community leaders and people I've met and people who dole out advice and people who help people, they are real. Okay.
Yes.
It is that 1% or that 0.1%, mm-hmm. however small it is, that will ruin it for everybody. And that, we have to, I feel like we're interneting 101 here, because
in a way it is, yes.
And here's the thing, what we're going to say stuff you already know, But you're going to go, I haven't actually thought about that in a while, because we get so comfortable on the internet, especially when you are already out there being who you are. If you are just being yourself, maybe you have a fake identity to protect, you know, your anonymity. Maybe you only share certain parts, but what you share is completely real.
Yeah.
You kind of expect the same in return. It's easy to get comfortable. And in the kink world, it's a little bit like living in a bubble. If you're being who you are, and the vast majority of the people that you're encountering online are being their real selves, this one part of themselves, but their real selves, you expect it of everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And here's the problem. We stop paying attention. So what I was saying a little bit ago was we might focus on the community aspect, maybe a resource, maybe somebody who's trying to be a friend, maybe somebody who's trying to be a thought leader or whatever. But this, I think when I look at how I try to read people and decide who I think I can trust and who I can't, these apply regardless of what you're trying to do. You're trying to get into a romantic situation, a sexual situation, a power exchange, trying to decide if you can just trust this person with something you want to know. These are the things I labeled it. How do you figure out if someone's real or not? And here's the bottom line. Sometimes you'll never know.
Yeah.
Sometimes you're never going to know for sure. Here's the thing. I believe there are people out there that I know who are not who they say they are, because I don't have concrete proof.
Correct.
There's very little I can do about it until I see them saying or doing something dangerous. If I think that they are giving dangerous advice and putting people in potential harm, then I promise you, like an avenging bitch angel that I want to be, I will swoop the fuck in and
with
go
your flaming sword and
of justice
from yeah
and say that is wrong and you don't know what you're talking about. Now anybody who follows me knows I don't do that, so I see advice I don't agree with all the time. It's not about agreeing, it's about danger. So it's a really sticky thing to be involved in, but I do know it exists, and if I know it exists, then other people
know it exists
too, even if we're not talking about it. So we're going to talk about it, and I feel really weird. So here's how you can figure out, or try to figure out, if the person you're dealing with is real or not. And y'all, take what I'm about to say and apply it to us. If you ever like, are these people really for fucking real? Apply this to us all you want, okay? Because I can tell you all day long that y'all, this is who we are. The thing you don't see is that he is in gym shorts that are not sexy, and I'm not wearing a bra. That's how real we like to get. I'm not showing y'all that on YouTube. Don't get excited. But this is what I try to use for the most part. And like anybody else, I have fallen prey to forgetting to do this. So the first thing, this comes from a person with trust issues, so remember that too. Watch a person's actions. Do they make sense? Now, here's what I've noticed. And I live in a very interesting online bubble, because there's my kink community. And then there's my sex blogging community. And my sex blogging community and my kink community have a little bit of an overlap, but not a complete overlap. So I see this more in the sex blogging community, but I know it happens in the kink community. Here's what happens. New person comes on the scene. Hi, I'm so-and-so. I'm starting a blog. I do this thing in my community. Whatever your thing is, right? I identify as, and they've got this long laundry list of things that they identify as. And everybody around them goes, that's great. We totally accept it. Why? Because to do anything else is not sex positive, and it's not kink positive, and it's not cool. You and I, and we all get to identify in any way we want to. And we get to proclaim that, and we get to say it, and we don't have to prove it to not a damn fucking soul.
True.
Okay? However, So the thing, the saying I've heard goes is, I don't trust words, I don't trust actions, I trust patterns, right? So what I have found is, I'm going to accept whatever somebody tells me. I identify as fill in your blank, and I'm going to say, that's great, I am so happy for you, welcome, okay? That's how we should do. But then I'm going to watch, and I'm going to pay the fuck attention, okay? I'm going to be curious, is this person for real? And what I found by watching, I learn from people. I learn from people who identify as bisexual, who are transgender, because I am curious. Oh, what's that mean? What's that look like? How do they live their lives? What are they telling people? Because I want to get to know people, and I want to know who's in my community, and I want to know if this is somebody that I think is a real person or not. And what I have found is the vast majority who come on in are, that's exactly who they are. And it's great. And it's wonderful. But when you watch how people act, that's when you start noticing who's not real. Because the part about how they act is that they're inconsistent. It doesn't make sense.
True.
But the reason I mentioned the, back myself up a little bit all over the place. The reason I mentioned my sex blogging community is the other thing we will do is we don't call people out on things because that's not cool, right? So I can't say to anybody, nor would I, that's not how fill in the blank acts. Because one, I don't know for a fact. I know that how I act. I know how Joe Brownstone acts. I know how people who've told me this is how I live my life have. I better know. That's all I know. So I can't call anybody out, nor will I. However, that's also the perfect situation for a dishonest person to thrive. Because everybody around them is going to be completely open and accepting. And so none of us are going to say anything when we go, wait, what? That doesn't seem right at all. And that's where I got stuck the time it happened to me. I kept saying to myself, that doesn't seem right. That doesn't seem plausible.
It seems too fantastical.
It seems, what? Are we in 50 Shades? Did I? But what makes this community open and accepting is you don't go around doing that. So what you have to do, or what I have to do, is I have to watch. Mm-hmm. And so I'm going to make up my mind by watching the patterns and watching for inconsistencies. What are you saying? Okay, I accept that because we established at the top of this episode, we kind of have to take everybody at face value or the internet doesn't work. But what are you doing? And if what you're doing doesn't match up with what you're saying, you immediately go on my, I don't think so list. That doesn't mean I'm going to blast you. It doesn't mean I'm going to say anything. Mm-hmm. It means I'm watching, though. Or I'm kind of ignoring because I don't have time. Okay, I don't have time for drama in my life. If I start paying attention, if somebody wants to be kind of a leader or a outspoken person or a giver of advice in BDSM and DS, because if I don't trust you, then I'm worried you're not giving safe advice. Now, thankfully, that is not born fruit. I have not had to swoop in like the avenging kink angel that I hope I don't ever have to be. But because that is a weird judgment call to make. How do you decide what's wrong versus what's dangerous? But if I thought I saw something dangerous, I would call it out.
Sure.
So that's how I do it. Listen to what they say. Accept. Say, okay, this is how this person identifies. Cool. This is who they say they are. That's great. Because we cannot sort of put up a wall and have everybody who walks through it and wants to be in our community prove themselves. That's bullshit, okay? We all get to be who we say we are on the internet. Yeah. But if I'm going to decide if this is a person that gets to be in my personal community of people that I like and trust and will tell everybody about and will celebrate and will whatever, I have to have my own personal criteria. Right? I have to have my own personal standard, and that's how I decide. I'm listening, I'm paying attention, I'm watching, I'm looking for inconsistencies. And the other thing that we don't do, and I feel like we need to do, and I did not do this for a while, and I could have kicked myself the moment I finally was sort of faced with it. We don't always listen to our instincts.
No.
How many times have we heard a thing or read a thing, and wherever you are online, you heard it, watched it, read it, and you went, what? That can't, what? No. And then we said to ourselves, wait. Am I being, in my terms, I would call myself a bitch. Am I being a bitch? Am I being a kink shamer? Am I trying to say what somebody's identity should be? Am I saying that that thing is impossible? And some of us will go inward and go, oh, I shouldn't do that. I don't live their life. So I don't really know. That is true. And I feel like anybody who has that moment of pause is a cool person, okay? Because it means you're introspective and you're willing to understand and respect that your perspective on life is not the only perspective on life. But what I have found is every time a person has made me feel that way, I've been found right. And I found out that thought process came from a very real place of knowing that some things just aren't right. Mm-hmm. Some things do sound too 50 shades to be real, okay? Right. Some things really are implausible. Now, I think it has to be taken as a whole. I think it can't just be one, or it has to be all of it. It has to be things aren't matching up. Things are inconsistent. Mm-hmm. I'm seeing patterns that don't make any fucking sense. And I've got the little voice in my head. Now, your other option that you can use in conjunction, which we have used a few times to determine for ourselves, is a reverse Google search.
True.
And I would say that that and actually meeting somebody in person who did not at all match. I mean, it was a it was such an otherworldly, out of body experience that didn't match with anything we knew to be true prior to that.
Right.
And anything that was said about it after, like, none of it matched. And then I did a reverse image search on Google. And then I went, I was right. My instincts had been right. And I'd been ignoring my instincts.
Too many times in my life, I ignored my gut feeling. And by ignoring my gut feeling, I've never ignored my gut feeling. I paid for it. From then on, I have always paid attention and listened to my gut instincts, and turns out in the end, it's always right. One other thing I'd like to say about, you know, especially when it comes to protecting yourself from someone, I know people don't always care for FetLife, okay? And FetLife is no guarantee.
No, we know there are predators on FetLife.
We know there are predators on FetLife. But, you know, here's something I'm going to say for that. We talk about munches. We talk about the importance of munches and community.
I had an article about that on the site this week, too.
Yeah, imagine
written
that.
By Little Rara. Hi, Little Rara.
Hi. Hey, Rara. but anyway, you know, the physical community is so important. And
to know who's really real.
To know who's really real. You know, you meet somebody online and they are giving you information and how-tos, you know, about the lifestyle. Understand something. This lifestyle, the BDSM lifestyle, the things that we do can seriously impact emotionally, mentally, and physically if done wrong. Mm-hmm. Okay? That is you can seriously injure somebody if done wrong. Look on FetLife. See if they're involved in their community.
Local community.
What kind of friends they have. Are they just collectors? Do they actually interact with people?
And I'll add a little caveat. I look like a friend collector, but I'm on messaging all the time, I swear to God.
I know.
You know, and again, that's the worst part. There's no perfect test. Because I believe, ultimately, we need to try and be as open and welcoming as possible in our online kink community. Because for many, many people, it's the only place they're going to express their kink openly outside of their partnership.
For most of all of us, that is the only way.
It's the only way we're going to learn. It's the only way we're going to find new people and discover new things about ourselves. And we have both directly benefited from the online kink community. And we believe in it, and we've invested in it, and we want to make it a better place. That being said, your normal instincts of how you interact with people and how you decide who's your person or not,
who your
people are, who your tribe is, should not fly out the window. If something doesn't seem right to you, it's fine. You don't have to be friends with everybody. You don't have to interact with everybody. I don't interact with everybody. You have to pick and choose. We only have so much time in the day, in our time online, and energy. And you might not even have concrete proof that this person is not who they say they are. You don't have to interact. You don't have to be negative. And I would caution against walking around proclaiming you're not real and you're not real, because you could be wrong. But you don't have to be involved with everybody who's out there either. You can listen to your own instincts. Trust your own judgment. If somebody's... I always use the term, you always say energy and I say vibe, right? If the vibe is off, we have somebody in our local community who people tend to tolerate this person. I tolerate in the sense that I'm non-confrontational, so I'm not going to say anything unless something is said to me. But I decided very quickly that this person was not my person. We are on such different wavelengths. I do not respect this person. I do not trust this person. I do not think they are a safe kinkster. I don't want them playing anywhere near me. I feel very strongly about it. Yes. I don't think there has to be drama about it because, mm-mm, like at the Munch, we're all allowed to go to the Munch. So we should all get to go to the Munch.
Right.
I make a choice about who I'm going to interact with. That person has tried to embarrass slash shame me into speaking to that person. And I have walked right by that person and said, no, I don't think so, without looking back. That's a choice I make because that's how I choose.
She's a Scorpio, y'all, so that stinger comes out every once in a while.
But you know what? It doesn't, because what I would love to do that I'm probably never going to do is get up in that person's face and tell that person that they are full of fucking shit. Yeah. I'm not going to do that, okay? Again, if I heard bad or dangerous information being spouted, I would say something because right. I feel like that's my responsibility, mm-hmm, right? I'm going to put myself out there as a person who's going to tell you what I think about this kink thing. I'm also going to tell you when I think something's dangerous. I would say if we were in a play space together and that person was wanting to come near me while we were playing, I would say something about that. Like there are times I'm definitely going to, mm-hmm, say something no matter how difficult it is. But just because I know that that person is not who they want the world to think they are, right? Like, I know they're kinky. That I can, mm-hmm, confirm. I know how they identify. I can confirm that. They've had relationships, and I have met former partners who then confirmed everything I, mm-hmm, thought. But that they come across as, they try to come across as a leader, as a safe player, as all these things that they're not. And so I know that. And so my choice is, when it seems appropriate, I say something. And otherwise, I do not give that person my time, my energy, or my attention. And that's how I do it online, too. Now, the question that was posed in the initial ask about this topic was, mm-hmm, how do you handle it? And that has been the hardest part of this, even thinking of this episode. And in the past several, the past several months when it's been happening, and I've experienced it for myself. And I don't have a good answer. Some people will say that I'm wrong for not immediately calling it out. And I don't necessarily know that those people are wrong either. My reasons make sense to me. Part of it is I will guard my mental health above all else.
Absolutely.
I don't care what's going on the internet. I don't care what's happening with anybody else.
That's true.
I have learned the hard way. I have to protect my mental health. And if, mm-hmm, the idea of confronting something that I can't change spikes my anxiety, then I can't do it.
It's kind of the old prayer, you know, God grant me the serenity to change the things I can change.
Accept the things I can't. Oh, somebody will know that so much better than we will, but I know exactly what you mean.
You know,
that counts.
Thank you.
And there is that too. And that's why the commitment I made with myself is I would keep my eyes open. And if I saw dangerous information being shared, mm-hmm, that could hurt somebody, then I would say something.
Right.
Because I do believe that I like to treat our audience like you're all highly intelligent people. And so I like to treat the people I surround myself with outside of an audience sort of structure, outside the podcast or video, right, or whatever, the people I'm interacting with on Twitter or Instagram or wherever, I like to treat them like intelligent people too. And I feel like, in my experience, I have a caveat there, it's not everybody, but nearly everybody I've ever been around in my whole life that is a liar, is just bad news, is presenting themselves as something they're not, whatever, like pick a negative thing. Almost everybody I've ever dealt with in my life, they've been found out, and it's been bad. And I didn't need me to do anything. Usually people will fuck themselves. Eventually they'll fuck themselves.
It,
in that original catfishing article that started sort of this whole conversation happening,
right,
the person got found out because she took a picture of a perfume bottle that she swore she was going to give to the love interest. And in that picture, the picture she took with her phone of the perfume bottle was a reflection of her, the woman behind the camera. And that's how the woman who this article was primarily about discovered that she was being catfished by a woman pretending to be a man, wow, and had stolen all of the pictures off of some other person's Facebook. Like, that's how, because eventually, I don't care how smart people think they are. I don't care how much they think they've got everybody fooled. Eventually, somebody fucks up. And so, right. So, I know it happens out there. I don't have any good answers. I know some people, they're like, fuck that. I'm calling it out. I'm calling that person a liar to their face. And I think I can't be that way for lots of reasons that make sense in my own head. But I can pay attention and I can hopefully help people find a better resource or figure it out for themselves. Or, and y'all, I really don't think I have the right answer on how to handle it. I really, really don't. I don't know if there is a perfect way. I know that if somebody was in a romantic relationship, they would rightly want to know. If somebody was, you know, if I had information that could prevent somebody else's heartbreak, wouldn't they want to know? But it's that moral quandary. It's no, it's, it is and it isn't much different than what if I know that my best friend is being, their spouse is cheating on them. What do I do?
What do you do?
And I know all the different sides of that answer and I think I know what I would do, but do I really know what I would do? And so when, if I should say, you discover that somebody is pretending to be something they're not and they're lying to people and they're catfishing people and they're going to great lengths to deceive, I don't know that I'm even smart enough to know what to tell people to do. I think you have to do what's right for you and works within your own ethical code. And even that's an imperfect answer. Because
I don't think there is any easy answer. I mean, with you, like you say, you have to take care of your mental health.
And I will.
And my job is to take care of you and take care of your mental health.
Which I love you for. Yeah. Because we have been there when I have not taken care of it.
And it ain't pretty.
And now, confrontation does do that to me. It does spike my...
Now, I will say this. When we started developing a relationship, I encouraged her. I told her. I said, I want you, go do a background check on me.
Yeah, go find out everything you can.
Go find out everything you can about me. Because I wanted to prove to her that I had nothing to hide, that... Right. You know, here I am.
And, you know, and here's
We hadn't met by that point.
No, and here's what kills me, because I've seen it, and I've, like I said, I think I've kind of experienced it, and I've got enough friends who've gone through it. I think most of us know to do that. We're like, prove yourself to me. Prove that you're right. And so we go, take a picture. I know, is it Hyacinth who's like, okay, take a picture holding three fingers up. Take a picture holding a beer and giving me a thought. Like, she's got... She's the catfish mistress at this.
I don't know. She'll figure
some bullshit out in a heartbeat.
She's got a catfish radar, I think.
Yes, and I think it's because it's people have tried to do it to her too many times.
Yes.
But the thing is that when somebody really wants to perpetuate this lie, they get really creative.
Yeah.
And I think that if you are in a position that... I think that initial meeting of somebody, that's normal. You're like, are you really who you say you are? Or we think, you might not be who you say you are, but it doesn't affect my personal life, so that's okay. I'd be who you are, right? And so we don't worry about it. But I think it's after some interactions that I've gotten to a point in my life that I don't need you to prove it. I'm going to listen to what my instinct says. If watching all the things I can watch and paying attention and questioning and doubting and a reverse Google lookup is your friend. and that's imperfect. That is imperfect.
Yes, it is.
But I've seen people pretending to be people that they're not get cocky. And they think they can post anything and they think they can share anything. And fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. And so I kind of live by that. But... I think that's when it comes down to what is your own intuition, your instinct, your gut? What's going on? It doesn't matter what's sending off alarm bells. And I think for me personally, when alarm bells go off, I want to know why. And so I will spend way too much time trying to figure out why instead of just listening to it and going, my intuition is trying to tell me something that like my conscious brain is not thinking of or seeing or catching, but some part of me is catching. Maybe I just need to listen to this. And I've gotten better about it. The last time it happened, I guess to us, I mean, I say to me, but it was to us, it was more painful because it was somebody that I thought was real. And I thought that they were a friend, and I thought that I could help them, and that, you know, that I knew they weren't necessarily somebody that I normally gravitated to, but I thought, yeah, this is, you know, this is a different experience, and they seem nice, and this is, you know, this is great. And then I discovered that not only had I been lied to, that the lies they had told me, I had repeated to other people. And in my code of ethics, that just then turned me into a liar.
Right.
And that, they were harmless lies in the sense that they didn't hurt anybody. Other than pissing me off, they didn't hurt anybody. So I didn't feel compelled to go around and do like a mea culpa everywhere. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, oh, I'm so sorry. This is, no, I didn't feel like that, because what I have discovered outside of relationship catfishing, because relationship catfishing just in general is usually awful. They're pretending to be somebody completely different
than,
right?
They are. Yes.
It's this other kind of catfishing is less egregious in the sense that some of what they say is true, but the vast majority isn't. And so they're not who they say they are, but it's not like you're talking to a man who's pretending to be a woman or something. Mm-hmm. Right. That's the hardest part of how to know what to do. You know, that person turned me into a liar. I don't like them anymore. I don't want to have anything to do with them anymore. And yet then I find myself in what I feel like is a moral quandary about what to do about it. And for me, that's because I do care about my community, and that's how I got there. That's how I got to, I'm watching, I'm waiting. If I see dangerous advice being given by somebody who is pretending, and people don't know that they're necessarily pretending, then I will swoop in. But it's a weird thing, and I think it's an individual thing. And what I would say is, if it happens to you, like you think you know somebody and you find out you don't really know them at all and they've made it all the fuck up. I was sort of embarrassed at first. Like, how did I get taken in by that? If that's your thought, all I can do is try and tell you, please don't have it. If you can, that it's not you, that it's them, that they said they either said all the things you needed to hear, which is what happens in a romantic sexual DS kind of thing, or that you were a nice human being who took them at face value, like we should do, like we kind of have to do to make the internet sort of work. You know, nobody has the time and the mental energy to walk around investigating everybody in their circle. Nobody has that kind of time. So you have to take people at face value, and it's on the people out there who are lying. And let me repeat what I said at the very top. The vast majority of people in the online kink and the online sex blogging community are exactly who they say they are. They show us the part of them that they feel safe and comfortable sharing, and that's all they ever have to. There's no obligation to prove who you are. But there are those people out there who are not who they say they are. And they... It's sticky and it's tricky. And I hate having a topic where I'm not really sure. And that people will see, because we're all unique, we're all going to see a situation like that from a different angle and from a different viewpoint and have a different reaction to it. Like, I know some people who'd go off. They'd be like, fuck this shit, I'm telling everybody. And then there'll be people like me who are like, I don't know how to handle this. And I'll be the first to say it's happened to me. Yeah. And I still to this day, it's been months now, and I still don't know how to handle it. So I just sort of bide my time and am willing, when somebody else asks about it, which proves that it's not just happening to me. It's not, if it's happened to you, it's not just happening to you. I'm willing to talk about it, but I did have to promise that I wouldn't go off on a massive screaming.
That's correct. And I'm holding you to that.
I really don't like to be lied to, because I do give.
None of us do.
And I think people who... I don't like to categorize all of us into this group or that group, but speaking to people who, like me, find it very difficult to trust other people, when you've gone beyond the skin surface of trust, beyond that face value trust, and you're like, oh, I believe in this person, When you find out that maybe you should have listened to that first instinct, or this one time it was wrong to trust somebody, there's just a level to it that it takes so much for me to trust somebody. Yeah. And I know that I'm not the only one like that. There are other people.
When it comes to taking advice on the lifestyle, a quick example. You want to know something about rope. You're interested in rope work. Okay. Someone comes forward to give you some information. You know, for Christ's sake, go on FET. Look at their profile. I can name you three people that I would gladly accept rope
advice
from. Thank you. Lost my word.
That's why you keep me around.
Exactly. You go and look at their FetLife profile. They have been doing rope work for years. Okay?
Right.
They have a profile that goes back 4 or 5 years, if not more, that they have been practicing rope work.
You'll get it out. But see, that's the other thing. First of all, and I guess maybe I'm in a different position because I tend to be the one asked instead of doing the asking. Mm-hmm. But before I would ever ask anybody, I'm sleuthing. I'm like, who is this person? How long have they been around? Yeah. You know, what do they know? Why would I think that they're the one mm-hmm. to ask? And I know not everybody does that. And I guess that would, if I'm giving any advice about asking for advice, I would do that too. Like just before you ask somebody what you think that you should do in your kink life, make sure they've got the bona fides beyond what they put in their profile. Because I could put anything. Right. I could tell you that I'm a unicorn tamer and a mermaid hunter, okay? And I'm neither of those things.
Oh, damn.
I wouldn't hunt or tame. I would say, can I come play with you? Your life looks much more interesting than mine. But that's the other thing. Do your research on people before you ask them anything. And just because somebody tells you to do something, and I mean this for the advice we give you, okay? We get emails all the time. We get messages. We answer them. Well, I've been really good. I've been answering them much faster than I was. Just because somebody gives you advice, you do not have to do it. If you read advice and go, and this is from somebody who's legit, which most people are, or somebody that you wonder if they're legit, which is rare, but does happen, that they're not really, I mean, if the advice doesn't speak to you, if it doesn't
You don't have to do it.
Okay. Mm-hmm. There's not a requirement. You can go ask somebody else. You can read some other site. You can listen to another podcast. Right. That's one of the reasons we try to encourage people to have more than one resource.
Yes.
Because we will not ever tell you we have all the answers. We don't. We don't. And we are still learning, and we learn from our own listeners. So, we encourage people to have like just a whole bunch of people that you feel like you can trust and are giving good advice. Mm-hmm. So if you are asking advice from somebody that is presenting themselves to be sort of a leader in the community, or somebody who's a resource, or somebody who just has a lot of experience, look past the surface as much as you can before you ask the question.
Mm-hmm.
And then listen to your own instinct and gut and, you know, does this seem right? You don't always have to explain something to yourself about why it feels a certain way. I recognize the impulse. It happens to me. I said that earlier. Mm-hmm. But you don't have to. If something in you goes, no, then just let it go. Don't have to get into an argument. Don't have to tell anybody they're wrong. You just go, no, okay, I will leave that there. They said that thing. I'm not going to do that thing. We have those choices as well. But it feels very weird to talk about because on one level it's very personal to me, and on another level I'm still figuring it out too. I don't have answers.
I know.
I don't think this is an easy topic. I think that however you handle it, as long as it's what's right for you when it happens, that's legit.
Yeah.
I just don't want anybody to walk away from a situation blaming themselves for what somebody else did and how somebody else lied. Mm-hmm. I think that another thing, when in doubt, if you come across somebody that something about them makes you go, are they for real? Talk to other people you trust.
Things that make you go,
Talk to other people that you trust. God, I feel weird. This is a little bit like a little too patting myself on the shoulder. But let's say you do trust me and you do trust Ron Brownstone and we've had conversations and you feel comfortable with us. And I hope you do. That's what we want. But that's all, that's up to you. That's a decision you get to make. And you come across somebody else, you are always welcome. We might not answer quickly, but you're always welcome to say, do you know this person? What do you think of this person? I will tell you if I trust somebody's advice. Like, I can rattle off names right now, and it won't be everybody, but I can. Right. Coffee and Kink, Professor Sex, Molly Moore, Dom Signs, Marie Rebel. Like, there are people that talk about BDSM that don't even put themselves out there as a resource. They just spend their lives living it and talking about it. And I could name them, and I'll tell you in a heartbeat, I trust those people. If, you know, you don't have to follow their advice because it's up to you. But yes, that's somebody you should follow. That's somebody you should talk to. That's somebody who's real.
I've met them in person.
Yes. And they were real in person.
And they were real in person.
And see, we don't all get that opportunity.
And they were, and they represent who they are in person.
And it is wonderful.
Yes.
And it is wonderful. So if you are in that situation and your instinct is telling you something, or you're just not sure, you're like me, you don't trust anybody no matter what. Go to somebody you do trust and ask them, do you know this person? What do you think? That's what we do in the community. That's what the fuck vetting is, y'all.
Oh, yeah.
We just now can do it if we want to do it online,
in different ways,
It's a new way. You know, we do it in our local communities before we give out the party address or the club address. You know, that's what the munch is for. And the gathering space of the online world, whether you're on Twitter or you're on FetLife or you're in a secret Facebook group or wherever you are, you know multiple people there. And if somebody comes by and you're not sure about them, and it's bothering you that you're not sure about them, then surely, hopefully, there's somebody in your online space that you've gotten to know and you feel comfortable with and that you feel like you can ask. Now, not everybody knows everybody. The world is not that small, y'all. I do not know everybody, okay? No. I would not even pretend that I know everybody. I don't even know all the big names out there. I still like will hear stories and I'm like, wow, I didn't know that person even existed. Happens all the time. So it's not, there's no guarantee, and I think that really is the thing. There's no guarantee of any of this, but if the one thing you get from this is to get comfortable with your own intuition when something doesn't feel right, then I think we're all better off if we're all listening to that little voice. So
right.
I think that's it. This was
are we good?
Yeah, I'll talk about how uncomfortable I feel in the bonus section.
All right.
This was weird. But I hope it was useful and I hope it helped somebody, especially if you are worried that you're going through it right now. If we can help, reach out to us. Yeah. If you've got a different way that this kind of thing, reach out to us. I'd love to
The bottom line is, you know, with the lifestyle, with this lifestyle, be careful.
Not everybody is who they say they are.
Not everybody.
And that's not just sexual.
You know, I mean, anybody can pretend to be anybody, but the bottom line is, you know, protect yourself. Be safe. All right. Just don't
take your time.
Take your time and question things. You know, unless you specifically trust someone that you know them for sure, you know, ask their advice, but then ask five other people.
Yeah. Use a lot of resources.
Use different resources.
Yeah, even
don't just rely on us either. Ask other
people.
We
don't know it all.
We don't know it all. No. We don't have all the answers.
I wish we knew it all. That would make me happy.
I'd like to know. A lot of responsibility.
Well, I know. But I like knowing things.
Well, true.
I'm also nosy as fuck. Yeah. But that's the point. So, yes, if you have a different way, if this has happened to you in a romantic situation, a DS situation, or outside of it, just in your own community, and you handled it differently, we'd love to know about it. If you have questions, we're happy to help if we can. If you have a suggestion of how you've dealt with that in the past, please feel free to let us know, because I don't think my way is even the best way. I hope it's the best way for me. But anytime I feel kind of squishy about a decision I've made, I do worry, like, what am I not doing that I could be? What's my responsibility here? And I don't always know. So this is a sticky topic. I want to reiterate the vast majority of people that you're dealing with in your online kink space are pretty much who they say they are. They might only be showing you a slice. Yeah. They might only be showing you one part of who they are because that's how they're comfortable. They are who they are. It is the people who, the very few who aren't who they say they are, that are the problem. And that I think because most of us are exactly who we say we are, and we don't raise anybody's like spidey senses. It's those people who do raise your spidey senses. And even if you don't know why, just pay attention to that feeling. Right. You don't even have to have a reason. Just pay attention to that feeling. And I think that's mostly what we can say about that. Because I certainly don't have a way to stop it. Do you have the magic secret sauce for stopping it? No.
No.
So all we can do is deal with it and try and navigate it and as best safe. We can. Okay.
Yep.
All right. So I think that's it. And we are going to have a bonus section.
Yes.
Yep. Yep. We are.
Good?
Vaguely.
All right.
I got a squishy feeling in my tummy. Okay. I know. I don't like hard topics.
No, I know you don't.
Just want to know things.
I think you did fine.
Thank you. I didn't go on a rant.
No.
Yay. Okay.
Okay. Ready?
We'll talk about it later.
Yes, we will.
Okay.
All right.
Keep it kinky, y'all. We'll see you next week. So I'm waiting for you to write it down. But we have a camera on it, so somebody's got to talk.
Really?
I know. Hi, YouTube. Hi. Hi, audio listeners. We love you all.
Yes, we do. Listeners, readers,
watchers. God, I know. We're hitting all the ways to take in information.
Yes.
The only thing I can't do is Braille, because I don't know how to make that happen.
No.
Or why anybody would want to. But if somebody wants to, let me know. And I know me. I'll go try to find out how to make it happen. My ultimate dream goal is for every single piece of content we put out to be accessible all the way around. We do not have those kind of resources to do that. So I would love to put captions on our videos. We do not have the resources for that. So we just talk about it in so many different ways that hopefully we hit people regardless of where they're at, who are also kinky. But so I'll start with, we do not have mail this week, but there's a reason why we don't have mail this week. We're actually recording on Sunday.
Yeah.
Before the Friday episode. We are a week ahead, y'all. I'm so proud of us. Mm-hmm. We're doing it on purpose. I'm about to take 10 days off. 10 fucking days. So... two of those days are because school starts.
I don't get 10 days off. I'm left here on duty holding down the ship.
That's true. Well, we get 2 days together when school starts.
That's true.
I already knew I was taking the first day of school off because I love my children. I'm ready to have my house back.
But.
And to do the kinky fuckery that we have not done all summer. And I'll tell the crickets, we have a massive, beautiful, handcrafted pillory set to try. That I'm like, I can't do this until these children are out of my house. So we got 2 days.
Once I unpack the box, I'll put some pictures Instagram.
Yes, and we'll do video.
Full-blown pillory
with
stock.
Equipment in it. Yes, yeah. Stock set, y'all. Mm-hmm. Like the kind of stuff you see in kink porn. Like just, I can't, but beautiful. And we haven't
like
opened the box yet.
A stockade, you know.
We're gonna do probably a video. Review instead of a written review, but I might do it if the kinky scene that comes out of it's really good. I'll do a written review because how do I not? That's kinky fuckery's like my thing. Anyway, so the first 2 days of my 10 days are kids are back to school and we're hanging out together. And then Wednesday, I can't remember what date it is, but in a couple weeks on a Wednesday, I get on a plane with my aunt and I fly to Oregon. Until the following Monday, we don't get home until midnight on Monday. So then on the following Tuesday, I'll come home. I'll stay the night at her house because we all live separately. Like, we live in Tampa Bay area. She lives in the north central part of Florida, but we're flying out of Orlando because that's where the cheap tickets were. So it's very complicated. I'm gone. But I didn't want anything to not get done. I've got 2 weeks worth of client work, of writing work to do this coming week. So I spent this whole weekend doing written content, podcast content, video content.
Yeah.
When we're done recording, we're going to go record another video of a sex toy review, which it's a review that has me sad. Except,
okay. I know. It's okay, baby girl.
And you might actually see, if you're like on YouTube, you might actually see the review before you get to this episode, because I don't know when I'll put out the review, but I want to put the review out. But the review, long story short, the toys we were sent did not work well for us, but it gave us an excuse to pull out the Hitachi.
Yes.
And we've played with the Hitachi two nights in a row.
Mm-hmm.
So, yay, there is that. So, no, we don't have mail because we have not checked mail since the last time we recorded a podcast episode, which doesn't mean we don't have it. We just don't know that we have it. Yes, we're recording in daylight on a Sunday, which is wild.
Yes. I don't think that's ever happened in the history of a week loving
early
BDSM.
No, no. And I don't want to jinx us, but I'm going to say it anyway because that's what I do.
Mm.
We have talked about trying to make this a regular thing, yes, to do it this early. So there's, I did some stuff on Patreon,
mm-hmm,
like recorded all the stuff that needs to go out for them, minus one thing we'll do at the end of the month.
Right.
I'm doing cards and I'm doing postcards to people who have sent us postcards, even though I'm like literally 6 months behind on that. And I'm doing cards and little swaggy things and merch things to our patrons.
Right.
The cards to our patrons are fucking beautiful.
Yes, they are.
I got them from our local library. Like, I'm supporting the local arts.
They're from the local library. Beautiful. They kind of follow a theme, actually, of this area.
Yes.
If you think about it.
Yeah.
Well, because of what's...
They're aquatic.
They're aquatic, which, mm-hmm, is, and taken from something a little bit north of us.
Right.
And, they're absolutely beautiful.
And we're not giving it away because our patrons haven't gotten it yet.
Right.
Once I know that patrons have gotten it, I'll probably like show a picture because I got extra. So I don't even know who I'm going to send these extra to, but I've got them because they're beautiful.
They're gorgeous.
They're so gorgeous.
They really are.
So,
and it's something I like too.
I like them. Yeah. But every time I send out a card, like even birthday cards, I'm like, okay, you need to sign the card too. He's like, and so he signs his name. I'm like, no, you actually have to write something. He's like, you didn't tell me that part. The kid's 13th birthday. I'm like, you got to write something in this card. It's his 13th birthday. He's like, this is a quiz? And I'm like, and then I'm like, what's taking you so long? What's taking you so long? He's like, you didn't tell me I'd have to think of something to write.
And not then, only that, I
and then he wrote something really wonderful because that's what he does.
My handwriting is chicken scratch,
who
okay?
Who cares? It's the thought. Nobody's grading you on your handwriting. Nobody.
I'm sure somebody out there is looking at my cursive and saying, oh, you need to go back to school.
Somebody is always judging us. Somebody's always judging us.
Too many years spent behind a keyboard.
You and me both, dude. You and me both. You just didn't have the parent. My dad made me practice my handwriting every summer. Mm. Like through elementary school and middle school. That's what I did every summer. I practiced my handwriting.
What's crazy was in my 20s, I used to do calligraphy. I used to play with calligraphy. I loved it.
You are a multifaceted human being. I just have to say that. You're like, yeah, I turn wood. I make wooden anal plugs. I used to do calligraphy too. What? What?
And now I can't even sign my name worth
no,
a piece,
y'all,
worth
he cannot. I love everything about you, including your chicken scratch handwriting, but he is not lying to y'all. No, he cannot. No, he cannot. So, this was a hard topic for me.
It was.
Because it was very personal to me.
Yeah.
And I
think it's personal to a lot of people.
When it happens to somebody, it's always personal. But I feel like it's hard for me to not have an answer.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't feel like I really have any answers, but I do think awareness is the biggest part of it. I think that we want to believe everybody we come across is who they say they are. And I really do think the vast majority of people are exactly who they say they are. And it really only takes one to kind of put a bad taste in your mouth. I mean, I know I have been not more standoffish because I'm not even capable of being that way online anymore, but I do take people more with a grain of salt than I did. But I also am listening to my intuition more than I was, which that, you know, if there's got to be a positive to something, then that is definitely it. If left to my own devices, I could go on an hour long, like pure rant.
No,
because right. I'm not going to,
okay.
I'm not going to, I don't need that negative energy either.
Right.
But it does. And then there is that part of me. And so people who might say later, that they would not allow a person that they believe is a liar to like be able to exist in their anonymity. There is that part of me that's like, I hate knowing a thing and not like, I know a thing and I don't say anything about it. Like, I'm attempting to be discreet. I don't think you can do that when you have a platform like we do.
No.
But if we can help other people just be aware of it, then I think we've done something. If somebody can, you know, if somebody's been there, done that, and handled it better than I handled it, then I'd be happy to know that too.
Yeah.
But I also know that everybody handles things differently, and you have to do what's right for you. And I have learned that I have to guard my mental health. I can't do any of the other things that we do if I don't.
Right.
I can't do episode after episode. I can't do video. I can't write blog posts. Over the course of this weekend, I have physically written 10 or 12 actual text blog posts.
Wow.
I've now recorded my 5th podcast for the day.
Mm-hmm.
I've already recorded 1 video, and I'm going to, and technically recorded 2 because we recorded this episode on video. I'm now going to go record a 3rd when we're done with this. If I let my mental health go to shit over something that spikes my anxiety, I can't do any of this stuff.
Right.
Not a bit of it.
No.
And so that's the compromise I made for myself, is that I would watch, I would say the things, you know, say something when I see mm-hmm. dangerous or bad information. I would answer questions that people ask me privately. If they are unsure and don't want to, you know, don't know what's going on. And I don't mean about, oh, tell me the whole story. I mean, like, is this person for real? If I think I can help you, like, there are people I'll put my name on, and I listed them earlier, and they know who they are, and they know that I adore them. And there are people I would put my name on that I forgot to mention, because that's why I hate mentioning people.
Yeah.
But yeah, so it's weird. I'm looking forward to whatever next week's topic is going to be. I'm looking forward to it more.
Yes, yes,
but
yes,
I did think when the person sent me the email, I thought that it was appropriate, because mm-hmm. it's not just that one instance affects me. But it's not a topic that just affects me.
No.
It affects all of us.
It affects all of us. It affects a lot of people in a lot of different
ways. And what
ways.
Allows liars to exist is darkness and yeah. silence and mm-hmm. being afraid to say something. And my method is not perfect by any means. There are people who are stronger than me who would do something different, I think. But I think it's worth talking about.
Yeah. Ooh, excuse me.
Was your coffee good?
Very
gave
good.
You the hiccups and everything. Did any
delicious.
Okay? So if you're watching this episode, and if you were not in audio, if you're listening in audio, I suggest you go to YouTube and probably fast forward about minute 45 or minute 50 and just watch for a few minutes. There was a point towards the end, because you know the rule is, the agreement is, he vapes during the bonus section. God forbid he go more than an hour without vaping. And I'm talking, I don't even know about what. And he reaches for his e-cig, realizes what he's doing, goes, oops, puts it down.
Oh, you did catch that. Okay.
I totally caught that. I see everything. So, YouTube watchers, I would love for you to, if you catch that, tell me the exact time mark, because what I wasn't watching was the exact time on it. But I knew we were getting close to like that point where he's ready for a good inhalation, and he needed it, and he like realized, oh no, this is not our agreement. I only do this during the Yeah. Okay. So I think on that note,
I think it's time to say
we have another
goodbye
video that we need to do
yes.
anyway.
Yes.
So if
and
this
I have
shirt...
a dog to walk.
Oh yeah. Oh shit. Yeah.
Yes.
I didn't see what time it was.
Mm-hmm.
These things always take longer than I think they will. That's okay.
That's okay.
That's us.
Right.
We're on brand when
mm-hmm.
we do that. Yeah. Okay, we love you guys.
We love you. Thank you
Thank
so
you.
Much for listening,
yeah.
watching, supporting us,
yes.
and going on this journey with us.
We couldn't do it without you.
Yeah.
We'd just be two people talking to ourselves, screaming into a black hole on the internet. Yeah, that because you know I would do this. Talk to myself in the shower. Why not? Why
yeah,
not talk to myself in the internet?
Okay.
But we are grateful that
we
you
are
with us.
We are.
And we love you.
We love you. Thank you, everybody.
Bye.
Bye.
I'll pull an image out.